Welcome back. My name is Dan Sherfield. I'm the Summit Connect director here and the host of this episode of And One More Thing. As I mentioned last week, this edition of the podcast complements our current sermon series, God at Work, which you can catch on Sunday mornings. On this episode, we'll get to hear from a few more congregants and friends of Summit about topics related to faith and the workplace. Last week on the podcast, we talked about work-life balance. And this week, drumroll please. We get to talk about the difference between work and toil. Let's go around the table a little bit. Let's introduce everybody and introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you're connected to Summit and of course, what you do for work.
I'll start. My name is Anna Burleson. I get to be married to David Burleson, who is on staff here at Summit for a long time. My job currently is a physician assistant. For those of you that don't know, it's kind of like a nurse practitioner, provider of medical provider who works. I work under a physician. I work under general surgeons in pediatric surgery at Nemours Children's Hospital. So I get to help kids before, during, and after surgery, so I really enjoy it.
That's awesome.
I'm Rob Newkirk, also known as Kaylee's husband. I think that's what most people know me as.
I know you as a walking sermon illustration.
That's how most people know me. All the stories are mostly true. I just want you guys to know, mostly true. Okay, no, she does check with me before she says some of those, but also known as Tall Bobby, I think, here at Summit is the other way people know me. But really excited to be here. For my current job, I help run facilities at an international ministry nonprofit, and so it's been really cool time. But I'm excited to be here and talk about work with you guys.
I'm Brandy Parker, and I've been at Summit since its very beginning. It's been so great. I was a stay-at-home mom for a long time, so I consider that work. But then after that, I'm back as a nurse in the ER. So I am a staff nurse in the ER.
That's awesome.
And my name is David Outing. I've been married to my wife, April, for almost 37 years. We raised 6 children, and now we have 3 daughters in love and 8 grandchildren. My favorite title is G-Paw. And as far as Summit, got connected to the Summit family when I was on staff at Jobs Partnership a number of years ago. And about 10 years ago, while on staff at Jobs Partnership, my wife and I started a company called Corporate Care Partners. It's a workplace chaplaincy business. So companies hire us to provide spiritual care for their employees. So that's what we do in our day job. So
that's awesome.
Glad to be here with you all.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. All right. Well, now that we've gotten to know each other a little bit more, let's kind of jump into our topic, the difference between work and toil. And let's start off easy with a little game of word association. So when I say the word work, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Paycheck.
Time.
Time. I love it.
Worship.
Ooh,
nice. Mm.
Now I can just think of toil because that's what we're talking about. So toil keeps popping into my head. But time, management,
career.
Yeah. And so toil, what's the first word that pops into your head?
Struggle.
Pain.
Sweat.
Grind.
Hard.
Hard. I love it. I think it'd be fun to hear, what was your worst job?
Retail, at a Halloween store. So selling the disgusting, awful masks that you see at those places to people that were very excited to own one. And you're just like, why are you spending $200 on this hideous thing? But people love it. It was interesting.
But did you get to comment on their, like, your costume? You can do better.
I think so. I was like 16, so I don't know what comments I felt at liberty to make then, but it was
All right. That's a pretty good one.
I had this dream of working at Pizza Hut and making beautiful pizzas, and instead they're like, you're the dishwasher. And man, you get messy back there in the dish room, but I did have the record for the most number of pots and pans scrubbed in one night. But I would come home drenched in other people's.
Rob, what was the number?
Oh, it was like 200 and some pans. It was it was a machine, but literally you would be drenched. You'd be like, you're pulling like pepperoni out of your pants at the end of the night. You're like, where did this come from?
It was toil.
It was a hard job. And they never let me make pizzas. I don't know what that says about me, but anyway, yeah.
My worst job was being a hostess at Cracker Barrel. And it was worst job because I was actually really not very good at it. And I think I made all of the servers mad at me because I never seated their tables right. And it was back when everybody used to smoke in the restaurant. And so it smelled terrible. And like the floors, I remember the floors being so greasy that I had to like, I was always slipping and sliding, like walking people to their table. I can't eat there anymore. But it was a really hard job because I was really bad at it.
You got to
play
checkers in the games all day, right?
You'd think. No, I was. Every day I would get yelled at by somebody, and they always had more stars on their apron than me, and I was terrible at the job. It was so stressful. They had more flair, and I was like, I'm trying my best. It was bad news. It was not good.
Well, I would say the worst one for me was being a pre-need counselor in the funeral home business.
Oh, yeah, that's
and funny. I wasn't good at sales anyway. And people talking about death stuff, yeah. it was just hard. Yeah. And then I had to do a lot of cold calling over the phone, and I hate doing that. Yeah. So I didn't stick around a while. I just left because it was just not cool. Plus, my office was by the cemetery, and working at night, it's just kind of spooky.
Did you have to, like, walk through to get to your office?
Yeah. It's just spooky being out there, you know? And I watched too many crazy movies growing up, so you just be thinking.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
If they put the Halloween store next to the
center,
they'd probably get more
sales.
Oh, man.
That was crazy. All right, mine was definitely, I think I must have been 13, 14, I wasn't driving, 13, 14, 15, got a job at a place where they groomed pets, right? Which you're like, oh, you get to play with animals. Like, no, they weren't there anymore. I came in when the store closed and it was filled with urine and just disgustingness and had to like clean the whole place. And I remember like you had to douse everything in vinegar. And so I would just smell like, I don't know, my whole teenage years, I smelled like vinegar. It wasn't good. It was just awful work, and there was just no way to make it. I couldn't redeem it. I couldn't, David. I'm sorry, man. Like, it just, this was the toil of toil. I wasn't a Christian yet. I didn't become a Christian until later in life. So I just smelled like, you know, some British fish and chips all the time with doused in vinegar. It was awful. Yo, it was like, I'm shaking a little bit just thinking about it. No, but I see like all white tile and, you know, like and some urine on the floor, and I just start shaking a little bit for sure. Yeah, no, that was great. I imagine, you know, we're talking about the difference of work and toil, and so there was a little bit of a difference in our responses, but I bet you if I went into the world and I said, give me a word that pops into your head for work, and somebody else that said toil, we might get some similar responses, right, for both of them, but it wasn't meant to be that way. At the beginning of Genesis, God gives humanity the dominion and work of ruling over the plants and the animals. He tells us, subdue it and be fruitful. He looks upon all he's created, and his word, it says, it was very good. And that included the creation of work, service, this opportunity for us to worship him through our work. But it was later in Genesis 3 where the fall happens, and in particularly in Genesis 3:17, the curse of the fall is handed down, and it says, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. So in your experience, would you say that even the most fulfilling, most fun work comes with some toil?
Yeah, definitely. I think there is definitely days where, you know, that alarm clock goes off and you just don't want to do it. You want to stay in bed. You want to watch Netflix all day, or you're watching the clock when you're at work. You know, when is 5 gonna get here? Because you just rather be somewhere else and doing things, other things. So definitely, or even thinking about, you know, being a stay-at-home mom. I think, or when I was home with the kids, you're just exhausted. You know, you just have days where you wake up, and for those that are working from home or working with their families, you're just exhausted. And so you wake up and you're just like, oh, I have to do this again. you know, I'm just so tired. I don't want to have to feed them again three more times today. And it's exhausting.
Yeah, I think every job has a little bit of toil in it. I mean, because we're all under this curse, right? So it doesn't matter how much you like your job, you're still going to, you're going to feel that at some times. And I think it's what you do with it when you feel that. But I don't think there is a perfect job. I feel like there's a lot of people who say, I just want a job that I really love. But I don't know. I feel like every job is going to have some parts of it that you, it's going to just be work. Yeah. And it's going to be, I should say, toil.
And that's, I feel like every, like, I know so many of myself, my friends, everyone, like, oh, we'll just find the right job, right? And then there won't be any toil into it when I find the right job. But like, every job has a little bit of toil in there somewhere, or something that you feel. You know, I always say there's no 100% job satisfaction. You might get to 70, 80% and that's great, but there's always that element. And I think that is part of that curse and part of that sin nature in what we do, is that our work is never completely fulfilling, because sin is always attacking what we're doing in the world and what we're trying to move forward. So, yeah.
And I like to lead off with Ecclesiastes 3:13, where it says, and also that everyone should eat and drink and find enjoyment in all his toil, for these things are a gift from God. So hard work and working hard is a gift from God. And I like to think that hard work is the vaccine of laziness and poverty. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be successful in this world as a result of the fall, hard work, not work, because Adam had work before the fall. Mm-hmm. So work is a blessing. But hard work came as a result. And I think that's the vaccine, to the point where even the Apostle Paul would say, if a person is not willing to work, they shouldn't eat, you know. And so work is just part of what we need to do in order to overcome the proclivities that come with a sin nature.
Mm. That's right. Yeah, I mean, the reality is it's due to the fall that we feel the hard work, right, that's in our work inherently. So I think from what we're saying, right, so if somebody's listening and they're not happy in their work, it's not that they should describe that work as toil, where somebody else who's like, I love my job every day, but I experience some toil, but we'll call that work, right? Like, that's not going to be a good and accurate difference between work and toil. So for somebody who's in one of these positions where maybe their work is, they feel like they're not working out of what they love, right? So their work might feel a little bit more like toil each and every day. Could there be some way for them to re-examine that perspective? Like, what are your thoughts on how they could approach work if they felt like day in and day out, this is just toil?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's hard, because again, when we go through our days, there is the sin nature of our coworkers, the sin nature of the world that comes at us, and I think it wears us down. Even no matter what your job is, you're partnering with God's desire to manage and produce in the world, but it's hard because sometimes those feelings of like, this doesn't matter, this doesn't happen, you know, they creep in. And I think that's for all of us. There's those moments where we just have moments that is like, why am I doing this? This isn't, what does this really matter? How does it help? You know, and I think that those are, you know, but the funny thing is I have those sometimes when my, you know, talking about parenting, there's sometimes I'm like, how am I failing as a parent? I'm trying so hard, and these kids don't always listen and learn. But I think that idea of like understanding God's perspective, and I try to like, I don't do this great, but I have a commute to work, right? So I'm trying like in my commute to say like, okay, how do I realign myself? Like, today is going to be a hard day, right? Like, there's going to be some hard conversations. There's like, for us, there's a water pipe that broke and it flooded the room, and now we have to go re-clean everything. And like, okay, what does that look like? And I think it's that continual refocus, even with whatever it is that refocus of, okay, the way I see this is not how God sees it. The way everything that we do, God sees, and he says, yes, 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 go for it. Even if it doesn't feel like the world is celebrating that task. Sometimes I don't feel like, you know, again, sometimes the world doesn't celebrate raising our kids and the way we hope to. And sometimes the world doesn't celebrate some task that might look small, but in God's economy, it's big. So I think it's just that renewal constantly. It's just hard.
I think if somebody was like, I really am unhappy with my job. It's just toil every single day. You really only have three options. One is to figure out a job that you do like to do. I guess it's two options. So figure out a job that you do like to do and see if you can somehow make that into a career. But in the other option, and in the meantime, is figure out how to just flourish where you are. And it's not like the choice of staying where you are and having and being unhappy all the time is not going to move the ball forward at all. So, yeah, I think it's a attitude and a perspective of where you are and what you're doing that makes a big difference. And, you know, some jobs, not everybody is meant for every position. So it is possible. Like, you don't have to stay doing something that you really don't enjoy forever. It's not like that's, but it's also about, can you enjoy this? Can you maybe change your heart in a way that you can? I don't know.
David, I know from our work with Jobs Partnership in the past and from a lot of the work you're doing in chaplaincy in the workplace, I mean, this is something that comes up, right? What if my boss isn't the best? What if my job isn't something I enjoy? How do I know that there are some real practical ways someone can find joy, right? To reduce the feeling of toil, right? The fall is evident, right? We right. can't control the people we work with. We can't control the fact that fall has an impact, but.
When I was on staff with Jobs Partnership, one of the books that the team read was a book by Tim Keller, Every Good Endeavor. And I would encourage everyone to read that book. And what it does, it values all work, that all work is a blessing. When you go to work, if you're working in a restaurant, when you're serving people well, when you're treating the food that you have to serve the customers, when you do it in a way that glorifies God, God is honored with that. And when people ask me that, one of the things I think about is a quote that Martin Luther King said. He said, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets, even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Mm-hmm. And I think, in our society, we elevate attorneys and doctors and the medical field and engineers. And it's like, you know, you gotta be one of those. But every job, every legal job, every legal job has great value to it and it serves a purpose. And I think people need to know that wherever they are, you thrive where you are. And that was the message of Jeremiah 20. We love the quote 29 and 11, but there's a context to that. What God was saying is when you're going to be in an unfavorable situation, which is Babylon, but I want you to thrive there. Mm-hmm. I want you to plant. I want you to build. I want you to pray for the peace of the city. So I tell you, pray for your boss. Pray for the company. Pray that God would prosper it. And you might be in an unfavorable situation, but see it as favorable because God is with you, mm-hmm. right? And so when that mindset changes, that whatever you do, I'll close with this last quote with Benjamin Elijah Mays. He said, whatever you do, strive to do it so well that no man living and no man dead and no man yet to be born could do it any better. Mm-hmm. Right? So do your work. If I'm at Burger King and when I leave, they're going to say, listen, no one can make a Whopper like Dave Outen. I mean, he made a Whopper as though Jesus himself was coming to eat. You know? So everything you do, the Bible says, everything you do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto man.
Yeah. And so to summarize, right, so if we have a job and we feel like it's toil every day, it's about getting on mission, right? It's about aligning ourselves, doing it unto God. When I was hearing you talk about that quote, I thought about the story of John F. Kennedy coming to NASA when they were trying to work on getting the first man to the moon, and meeting somebody in the hallway and saying, "Hey, sir, how are you? What do you do here?" And the guy turned around and says, "I'm trying to put somebody on the moon, sir." And really, the guy was a janitor inside NASA, but his point was, like, we're on mission here, right? All of us, right? It creates this alignment, and that's what Jesus and God does for us, right? It creates this alignment so that we can move forward. So where has the curse of toil, right, popped up in your work, in your journey? Maybe it was, you know, maybe it's temporary. Maybe it has been a season or even a long season that you've really felt the impact of the fall in your work. Maybe share with our listeners some of your own personal examples.
I don't think it's coincidental that these questions are coming at me right now in a time where work is particularly exhausting, and feeling the sense of failure at times, you know, that you're doing your job, but you're not doing it as good as maybe somebody else could do it, or maybe somebody else at work or somebody else even outside could do it better. Feeling or hearing people at work give you feedback that maybe is not, you know, favorable, or things that you could be doing better, and thinking like, okay, maybe I should just quit or do something else. And so how to recover from that, how to keep going with that, has been really challenging the last few weeks. But, you know, talking it over, of course, with administrators and with bosses, hopefully is what others can do. Sometimes you don't feel like you can do that, but I'm definitely talking it through with partners and friends and people that can encourage you and help you keep going, connecting with your sense of purpose, connecting with your sense of this is what I'm doing, where God's put me, you know, such a time as this for this moment for a reason, and connecting with your purpose of, like, this is part of what God has for me and his story, has all really been helpful for me recently. Knowing that Jesus said that we'll be weary, you know, even though we're working, we're going to be weary and weak at times, but we bring that to him and make time to recover, because sometimes you're working, but if you're not taking the time, we talk a lot about Sabbath here at Summit, taking the time to recover, to rest, however that looks like for you, for people who are listening, if that looks like connecting with your partner, with others, if that looks like doing something creative or doing something that's gonna fill you and help you rest and recover from that, I think is where I'm at.
Yeah, I think it's funny when you think about, like, I was thinking a lot about, like, kind of Jesus, right? Like, Jesus had his work, and what did it look like? And you kind of think about, like, where did the curse and the toil show up in Jesus's, like, ministry? And you see it all the time. Like he's trying to get something done, and people are like, no, let's go this way. No, let's, you know, like, they're trying to, like, oh, let's be a military king. Jesus is like, no, that's not what I'm doing. And then, like, and we're running out of money. We don't have, you know, all these things that he went through. And I think that's the thing, is, like, it's funny when you think about the verse that talks about we don't war with flesh and blood, but with, you know, powers, principalities, things like that. I think there's so many things that try and discourage us. And that, whether it's, you know, that coworker that is out for you, or someone didn't see the work that you did, and or something, you know, like, you did something great, and, you know, there was a big storm and it blew down a tree on your wonderful flowers that you just planted. Whatever it is, that might be a true story. It might not be. Who knows?
Hypothetically.
It's going to be a sermon illustration.
Yeah, this
later.
Is going to, yeah, it'll come up. It'll come up. So they were so nice. Anyway, we'll let it go. But that whole idea of, like, it shows up everywhere, and it continually is trying to discourage us. It's continually trying to, like, make us think that God doesn't love us, he doesn't have a plan for us, and we don't matter, right? Like, that's what the curse is trying to do, because we're not fighting against even the people that sometimes frustrate us, we're fighting against the spiritual attack of trying to get us off of whatever God's put in front of us. And it says that God's put good works in front of us, right? He's put good works for us to walk in, but constantly that discouragement, I think that's part of that curse is like, you know, the effort that you're putting forward and then the curse is just continually hindering the impact and just to get us discouraged. And so, yeah, I just see it a lot, and it helps me also to remember that it's that spiritual warfare that we're in every day at work. It's not just that the tree fell on my flowers, right? That's just another way to make me discouraged of what I should be thinking about is like, okay, like God's got a new plan for the flower bed. I have no idea what it is. But anyway, yeah. It's probably not as good. It was looking real good. I'll let that go. I'll let it go. So anyway.
I think it is all a matter of perspective. And as Christ followers, you know, Paul tells us that we sit with him in heavenly places, but I'm here on earth and all this craziness. Mm-hmm. How am I sitting with him, mm-hmm. right? It's a perspective thing. And in the same way, I don't see it as a curse. You know, the scripture tells us that Jesus got up on a cross and became a curse, right? To deliver us from whatever curses was there from the law or whatever. So in Christ, he redeems it all. And so Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, I will give you rest, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So in Christ, he helps us carry the load. If we try to do it outside of him, it will seem burdensome. It will seem like it's a curse. But in him, he has fixed it where no curse should affect the Christ follower. Right? So it's a matter of perspective. Now, do I get tired? Yes, we get tired. What we do, because my wife and I, we're together 24/7 because she works with me in the business. And it gets tiring when, you got employees telling you their issues and their problems. And we love it, but it can be tiring. And that's where self-care comes in. I don't see it as, man, this is just that curse stuff happening. It's just part of being successful in life. And so self-care includes rest, disconnecting, just taking care of yourself, being able to get the right amount of sleep and rest. And if we do those things as though it depends on us, then God is always going to do his part. So in Christ, work is good. In Christ, work is not curse-driven. In Christ, it's just all good. That's the perspective I've always tried to carry into the workplace.
So you would say if there was a season for you where you have felt like the toil of it all, like that burdensome, it's really about us moving closer and back towards Christ. It might be a season where, I got to do a self-check. Where's my heart?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I work with people. I'm an ER nurse, so I work with people all day long. And I love it. I mean, I love being able to step into their problems and be aggressively helpful with all the things that they need to be fixed. And so it's a great job for me. And so I really do love it. But there are parts of it that I think everybody in healthcare would probably say they have something that like triggers them that is just really kind of hard to deal with. And for me, it's not the things that you would think of. It's not like the disgusting parts of my job or the parts of my job that would turn people's stomach. Like I can do that all day long. It's no problem. It's the thing for me that gets me, and I have to work every day when I run into it, is when I deal with people who are entitled and they demand things, or they say like, I've been here for 2 hours and I have an appointment to go to, so I need to leave. Like, and it builds in me this kind of frustration, like we're working as hard as we can to help you. So in that moment, like my attitude goes off a little bit in my own heart. So I have to continually every day like remind myself of why I'm doing this job. And I am serving them, but I'm serving the Lord. So, and I know that when Christ was here, he worked with some people who were the same way. And so I know he knows how it feels to be like, these people, if they ask me for one more glass of ice chips when I'm trying to, Moses was like, these people, why do you have me with these people? I'm like, I love them, but they're driving me crazy. And it happens when you're raising kids, and it happens, like, there are moments that you're like, my flesh is like, this is the thing that makes me frustrated. So I think it's like a continual reminder, and I set reminders for myself, or like I have this little cart that I push around my job with like my computer on it and all my IV stuff in it. And I'll like sometimes put little post-its that I feel like I need to be reminded on, and our little Bible verses tuck in there. But I need the visual reminder because I know my heart can go off like quickly. And so when I was at home with the kids, I would put those around the house and moments that I, like places I knew I would be when something would be happening with the kids that would make me nuts. So like driving in the car or making dinner and there's chaos happening around me. Like I will not lose it. I will remember it's the Lord I am serving. Like, not that I'm always good at it, but like that is, it's a continual reminder for me because I will daily be see things that make it hard for me to keep my focus on what I'm doing.
I think, too, is also the weight of other people's depravity. Sometimes that can weigh on us. And so as you were talking, I thought about the most heaviest moment of chaplaincy in the last 10 years, and that was when my wife and I, we just got back from vacation, and I got a call from law enforcement. Dave, you got a chaplaincy company. We need your chaplains. We need everybody. It was the weekend of Pulse situation. And so we were asked to come in and be a part of the death notification phase. Mm. So to go in the room with families to make that announcement that one of the 49 was their family. And we got to number 47. They were still trying to figure out stuff for the other two. And I left, and when I got home, I just remember flopping on the bed. I felt so drained from that moment that somebody would come in and just, you know, murder all those people. And then all the caregivers that came in that night had to take on the weight of that. So I think sometimes with, I can be good in what I do, but if I'm weighed down, a lot of times it's what's going on with other people. It's the depravity or the issues that's going on with others that weighs on me. And so I just, even with that, what I've learned to do is call somebody and debrief. Yeah. Hey man, I need to talk. Just, you got a moment? This is what I experienced. This is what I saw. This is what I heard. Man, pray for me. And by being able to do that self-care, it helped me get back centered to where I'm okay now, because now I don't have to carry the weight of the depravity that I was exposed to.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? As we pull this apart, right? We talk about our work being hard and creating toil, but so much of it has to do with our response to it, right? So much has to do with our heart. It's the Hebrew word for work and worship is the same, avada. Avada, is that right? Avada is.
Yeah, that's perfect pronunciation.
Yeah. And it's, I'm sure that's going to get some calls in. But hey, but this word, it's interchangeable in the Bible, right, for work and worship. And it's this opportunity for us to realize that just like when we go and we sing as a congregation, like you can sing and not be worshiping, right? Like worship is the condition of our heart. Right. So really, it doesn't matter what topic we bring to the podcast where we're talking about work, we're talking about home, we're talking about, you know, sports, whatever it is. What's going to make it worship for us, right, is about the condition of our heart and us kind of examining that. All right. So how does one who is maybe listening, they love their job, but man, they're struggling, right? They're having some hard times. Or maybe someone's listening and they're like, no, I'm one of those people who need you to say toil is because I have the horrible job and it's toil and it's thing of the curse. but how do we talk about redemption, right? Like the reality is, as David pointed out, right? Like Christ has come right, for our sins, right? And so we live knowing and loving Jesus, right? So what does redemption look like in the workplace? What does it look like to redeem what work was meant to be, right? God created it for good. So what does that look like for our listeners to kind of redeem that?
Connecting and a common purpose, I think, connecting others, like when you see coworkers that are going through the same thing, making sure that you're helping them, you know, because you felt their feeling, you know, you felt discouraged and weary, but we have to help each other with, you know, the culture that you're making in the workplace, and helping our coworkers feel like we have that common mission, and that will help, you know, that will help you in the end too, because then, you know, you're creating this stronger work environment, and keeping that in mind. Did I answer the question? I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember what the question was now.
Yeah, can you ask that question again?
Yeah, I mean, for somebody who wants to have work redeemed, right? Like we started off by saying work was created by God in the beginning of Genesis. Like it wasn't a result of the fall, right? Work itself is not a result of the fall, right? Toil was, okay? But the reality is we live in a world where the fall is just evident. Right? So we all feel toil in our work. You might be coming from a place where you don't like your work. You might be coming from a place where you do like your work, but you are fully aware of toil. So what does it look for that person to redeem work, right? How can they move towards it in such a way that it can be honoring to God in what he created work for us, right? As this opportunity to worship him.
Right. Yeah. Right. I like a story to answer that. When I went, and if you've been around Summit for a while, you might have heard this story before because Isaac has told it, but I was there, so I can tell it too. So at Taylor University, there was these two lunch ladies, Mickey and Barb, and they were, they were just lunch ladies. And so there was two of them. And the way you got into the cafeteria at Taylor University is you had to go down one of two staircases to get into the cafeteria. And so their job all day was to scan your student ID so that you can get into the cafeteria. Now, Mickey, when you first got to school, both of the lines were about even. And as the semester went on, Mickey's line was always shorter. And they were doing the same job. They were just scanning the IDs and the people go down the stairs. But Barb's line was always out the door. And sometimes out the door, kids would stand in the rain and in the snow just to go down Barb's line. And so what it was that Barb would learn the names of all the kids, and she'd say, like, how was your biology test? Oh, you're looking good today. Are you and Susie still together? Or, like, whatever it was. What's your favorite Bible verse? Like, she would just talk to each kid, and she got to know them. Or she'd say to me, like, where's John? I haven't seen him today. Oh, he's got a big... What she wanted to know everything, and she made it, like, her job to study the people. And she didn't have... She had the same job as Mickey. Bless Mickey. She was great. But you just went through her line if you were in a hurry. Like, because everybody wanted to talk to Barb. So it doesn't matter. Like what you said about the quote about street... If you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best sweet... I can't say that. That's a tongue twister. Be the best street sweeper. Right. That's what we want to make the best whopper. And it's really about how you treat people when you're doing the job. And we've all met people who seem unhappy in their job, and so they treat people poorly. But you can be a difference maker wherever you are by how you treat people and noticing others and knowing that all work is good because it's from the Lord. And so there's good to be had. Being a lunch lady.
I think a way to redeem it is to understand the two laws that we're to focus on. Not the 613 that the Jewish people had. Jesus just busted it down to two. Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he didn't say less than, but equal to loving God is loving your neighbor as yourself. And so when you see your boss, your coworker, the customer, even the belligerent ones, your spouse, your children, everybody in your life as your neighbor, and to love them well, it gives you a different perspective. And then for those who are just kind of wondering, you know, whether or not they're in the right career or whatever, I would say like we do at Jobs Partnership in helping people to discover how God has wired them. Mm-hmm. And that is, what are you passionate about? I like to call it the pig principle. The P is passion. What is your passion? And I always skip to the G. What are you gifted with? So if you understand what you're passionate about and what you're gifted with, then the I is instruction. Then you can determine what type of instruction you need to crystallize that passion and your gift, right? So if I have a passion to make people look good and I'm gifted with my hands, then maybe I need to be a barber stylist, right? So I need to go to school to get a certificate so I can do it legally, right? And that's just an example of how people, you can move people towards calling, because I think work should be more of a calling than a craft. If it's all about your craft, then you can do work and make a lot of money and not be happy and be stressed and not make as much money and feel fulfilled in that calling, because you are like teachers, first responders, you know, police officers, you know, it's a calling. Pastors, you know, everybody, it's a calling, and don't worry about the craft part. Let me do what I'm called to do. And if you can find out what your calling is, passion, gifts, proper instruction, then you can move even further towards having joy in the workplace.
I love that. Thanks so much. Yeah, I even love your example there of you know, loving God with all of our heart, but loving our neighbor. Barbara, right, and Brandy's example, like, she loved to honor her neighbor, right? Enough to know them and to engage.
Yeah, I think there's also, going off of what you said, David, like, I think there's something too of like just realizing that we're filled with the Spirit. Like, we literally, we bring Jesus into every room, right? And so the idea that when I don't know how I'm going to feel at work, when I don't know how to be the best lunch lady, when I don't know how to be the best, you know, Whopper maker. I'm sure you make a really good burger, though. I really want the burgers now. We should have had burgers. Anyway, but when I don't know how to do that, and when I'm feeling down, whatever, just pray it up. Just pray it and say, Jesus, like, you're here. Work through me today, whatever that looks like. So one of my friends who is way more spiritual than I am, they were on a commute, and this goes kind of your principle. They'd have a sign, and they said, as soon as I cross that sign, I just pray that God would be with me when I go into my work, because they passed it. That was the last sign before they turned into their work, and just every day they prayed that, like, God, just show up, God, just be there with me. Help me, even if I am a street, you know, sweeping the streets, help me show up how you would want me to show up. Help me be you to whoever I come across. And that's, I want to start, and I still got a lot of work to do this, to break down the ways that I try and get involved and try and like strategize. I'm going to be this. Jesus, just use me. Just every day, Jesus, just use me. And I just let the Holy Spirit lead you through it. So. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I think that was one of the best advice I think I ever got, was just asking daily, continuously for a filling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it can change the whole day. And I can remember when somebody first said that, I was in a season of toil. I was in a season where things were hard. And I would pray, I'd ask for a filling of the Holy Spirit, and my day would just, I don't know that the content of the day changed, right? But the feeling of the day, the opportunity to have joy in that hard work completely changed. But for some reason, my human self, right, would wake up the next day and be like, oh, why is this so hard? It's like, oh, I didn't ask for the Holy Spirit for today, right? Yeah. Like, you do need that. I like that reminder of when I get to a sign, right? Like, I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna re-engage this and enter it, and that's awesome. Thanks so much. Okay. Difference, work, toil. We've had a good conversation. We're wrapping up here. Final thoughts, like best piece of advice anybody ever gave you, anything that you feel like our listeners would be just, blessed to learn from as we wrap up today.
I think about the story of the preacher and the farmer, where the preacher was adoring the farm and how the farmer had arranged it and how he had made it, you know, look so good and it was thriving. And so one day the preacher stops by the farmer and said, man, I just love how God has, you know, blessed you with this farm. and how it's looking now. And the farmer said, well, you should have seen it when he had it by himself, right? Because God's going to send rain. He's going to send sunshine. But if there's nobody to till it, if there's nobody to put it in order and arrange it, then it would just go wild. So God is all about partnership. If God is going to change your workplace, you can pray and say, Lord, change this workplace. He wants to change it in you and through you. Because God always does something with a human agent, even the point of salvation. That if these people gonna be saved on the earth, it's gonna take a human to do it. And we, one of us, need to become that. And of course we know, Jesus, the Son of God, here am I, send me. He goes and he comes and he's like us. And he's a man as much as he is God, because it's gonna take a human being to do what God wants to be have done on the earth. So anything in it, when it comes to work, when it comes to work, whatever God wants to do there, he wants to do it through a person or people. The question is, will you yield your hands to be the change agent in that workplace?
Because nobody can do it like you can. I think that's what we forget too. We think that anybody else could do what I'm doing. But in reality, it's, you know, you are fulfilling the, you know, the work that only you can do for him in this time that he's put us on this earth, because it's so short.
It's amazing. I remember something Isaac said way back. This is when I was working as an executive, and it just hit me right between the eyes. He was like, so you mean to tell me you will trust Jesus with your life, but not your PowerPoint, right? Like, it was this idea, like, how are you gonna hold him out of this space, right? Like, no, right? Like, and then I was, you know, it's one of those like, oh, I guess you're right, right? Like, you know, like, oh, but it is that, like, we need to bring God in, right, with us into all things.
Yeah, I think this is a kind of a verse that's just kind of popped up many times, but it's, I think I'll have the reference right, but Proverbs 3:5, it's just trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. And sometimes it lean not on thine own feelings, but in all thy ways acknowledge God and he will direct thy paths. And just that idea of like, just know wherever you are in your work, wherever you are in your career, wherever you are in your family, your spiritual walk, wherever you live, whatever, like you're on a path and God is there. Just keep trusting him, acknowledging him, and let him direct those paths.
That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Oh, I was just enjoying everything everybody else was saying. I feel like I need you guys to give me the daily pep talk. This is great. No, I think it's just to remember that, like, yes, we need to work hard, and part of the, and that's a beauty, and the world is watching when we do, but also to just to love others while we do it, and it's not, you know, you're not gonna like every day, and that's okay, like that's part of the growing that God's gonna do in us and through our labor, and yeah. And I think it's good to go along with other people because they can remind you along the way, like, oh, this is why we do this.
That's true.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for this episode of And One More Thing. If you liked what you heard and want to jump into more topics surrounding faith and the workplace, you can, of course, join us on Sundays during our God at Work series. And we're also going to be having on Monday nights a speaker series where we're all going to be talking about faith and work. We got some pretty rock star speakers coming out to talk. That begins on July 8th. A lot more information about all of this can be found at summitconnect.org. We've had such a great discussion today. Thank you so much to all of our guests. We hope that you'll tune in next week where we were going to chat about morality in the workplace.